Hi, everyone. Okay. I'm going to read this poem. Crocosmia flowers. How did we get here? He asked. The palm of the hand, Crocosmia flowers. The licks of fire scorching between the hands, on the cheeks, in the mouth, broad and slender bowels. A, O, U, E, I. Do not run out of air, she said. Breathe as if all air was yours, as if it wasn't meant to peter out. What does it taste like? I don't know, he said. My cheeks are burning. If I had to purchase bottled air according to its quantity, he sighed. A flock of birds was on fire, scratching the sun on its way yonder. The flapping of the wings hastened the baldness. Those are vain attempts consumed. Now they fall down like stones and the fields burn. Shh, she said. Do not feel sorry yet. We are inhaling the same. We don't know where the air comes from, where it goes afterwards. Who else is breathing, under what name? I place the tip of my tongue against the palate, but the word never comes out as it should be, as the original. I believe this word to be impossible. I should learn to give up. No, he said. There's no way to say no or to say yes. In this tongue, the truth is reached through the periphrasis. Everything is said in order not to say either yes or no. We never got this journey started, she said. It is a journey with no beginning. We came across each other in between, sooner or later. It's the years. And we are almost breathless. But what does it taste like? Crocosmia flowers, he lied. That was his first thought. For his hands were burning. He made a bouquet and another, but the flames did not stop dancing. This variety is known as Emily Mackenzie. They look angry or stunned, she said. He smiled. He had beautiful teeth. I wanted to give you a bouquet, but there are too many, and it doesn't make sense anymore. They looked at each other in another language like the air. They were inside a circle of all those crocosmia flowers that were growing nonstop from the hands. Derek, plant buoy, buoy, he said. Silence. And again, the stones coming down with the sound of a glare. The black bones sprouted up from the birds over the field, the moor, dense on the charred land far away. It got cold. Those flowers wither and fade, she said. Blacks and grays, just like the night is poured out on us. Their hands are hot. They hurt steel. The impossible word makes you blush. Me too. I can't say it. Don't say yes or no. As if all air was yours. Breathe. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa. Next up is Colm Scully.
Thanks, Shauna. On International Women's Day, this is a villanelle I wrote for my aunt who died about 7 years ago. It's called Auntie. Washing duck eggs at the kitchen sink, placing in their trays the blue and green and white ones. That is how I think of you. You're giving me a drink of orange with a plate of custard creams, washing duck eggs at the kitchen sink. Gathering up the trays you're going to bring to the English market, feather clean. I wonder is that how the others think of you? I stretch my arms out, help you carry the trays out to your sky blue Ford Capri, washing duck eggs at the kitchen sink. Nephews, nieces at the graveside bring varying memories of that scene. I was special to her, each one thinks. 11 of us passing on our way, popping in our heads throughout the day, chatting with us, asking her things, washing duck eggs at the kitchen sink.
Thank you so much, Colm. Thanks, Million. Sorry, I actually skipped ahead some names there. I didn't realise a few people had gotten in before that, so I'll just go back to the names that I missed. But thanks, Million, for that, Colm. So, Damien B. Donnelly.
Hi, thanks very much. Congratulations, Lawrence and Sandy. That was just astounding. I've got two short poems to keep it in the 3 minutes for International Women's Day. The first one was in Fevers of the Mind Press from last year. And it's dedicated to memory of my former boyfriend, who now has found wings as a woman. In the kitchen, breaking noise before dawn, you grind grains into something more sippable, stilled under the shadow of something unsettling. I shift position too naturally while still snoozing, setting my sleeping skin into the soft spot your body has since shed. As your tongue lets the caramel of coffee tingle across taste buds slowly changing. In that kitchen, swallowing simple warm things in the morning before the day comes to choke us. And the second little poem is from the title collection of my debut pamphlet, Eat the Storms. And it's called Scarlet Rising. Eat the storms, mother said. Boil those beds of bitter blackness until the dream rips through the rain and translucent turns to trust. Even a diamond must ache in the darkness until compression can no longer conceal. Eat the storms, mother said. Slip out of shivering skin until touch recalls the sweet music of scarlet rising. Caught below the lick of leaf, lost in the shadow of the shade. Even the petal must rise above the thorn before it can dance in the light. Eat the storms, mother said, but I didn't hear it at first. It takes time to swallow the truth and teach the tongue to taste the rain. Thank you very much for a fantastic evening.
Ooh, thank you so much, Damien. That was great. Super. So next up, we have Pam Campbell, please.
This is an epistolary poem, and I'm in a partnership with a friend who we're writing to each other. So my poem's in response to her poem to me. It's called Open Door. You remember me writing you about the open doors, the one Sister Mary Margaret spoke with me about at the mother house? Well, friend, when I opened your letter and saw that we recalled the very same moment in our first meeting, I thought, this is an open door. One that I caught a glimmer of that day in the kitchen of the mother house. Sometimes we cross thresholds without knowing, not meaning to take breath of space from another, hoping that there is air enough for difference, for connection. That day when I said I was homeless, your eyes shadowed, your muscles tensed. The room lost its warmth. I slipped back across the threshold just as a door whispered shut. I feared judgment in the silence and wished I could draw the word back from that brief shared space. Yet I learned in your recent letter that you cast no stones. The 2 steps back you took was for air you perceived to be calmer and safer, albeit reckoning it an empty trade, the currency for security. I am no stranger to hopeful building on branches too frail to hold. We are the women woven in wrong tradition, a quiet desperation, like birds on a wire strung too tight, too charged. You call yourself a slow learner. Oh, gentle friend, you were a quick learner of lessons taught to women. We are not figured equal in the equation the world dictates, putting aside self for family and others, giving, not receiving. Even in the best of circumstances, are we not primed to run dry? And in the worst, to thirst for home and haven and burrow in sunless caves? You say your heartstrings that tethered you to this ground have been severed, and you don't know where to go. Blessed unknowing, here is where your right to self-governing begins, on your ground, not another's, not even common ground yet. For how can we create common ground without nourishing and rooting ourselves? Self-governing requires knowledge. Knowledge requires expansion. Expansion requires breath. I learned to breathe into dark ache, deep in the bone of me, the hollow of my emptiness. Breath that bent but did not break me. Breath by breath drew me into the blade of sadness and anger, sharpened and defined me, grounded me. Here, friend, is where you start.
Super. Thank you so much, Pam. Thanks for sharing that. Just one thing as well, if you do have short poems, you can read more than one as long as it's within the 3 minutes time frame-ish. Just wanted to add that there. So thanks again, Pam. Next up is Anne MacDonald.
Thanks very much, Shauna. And big thank you to Sandy and to Lawrence. It's my first time hearing you read, Lawrence, so it's a real privilege. I'm just going to read one short poem, and it's part of a series of what I call Belfast poems. And I really had Sandy to thank for these poems because I had written them a good few years ago, and I'd almost wasn't going to include them in my book. I know I'm peddling this book, but this is my debut collection. I'm very excited. It's finally come to fruition. We launched on the 18th of March. But I wasn't going to include these poems. And then Sandy offered me a slot on Cultivating Voices. And I read some of them. And the reaction was really heartwarming. So it made me revisit them. And this one in particular, very short poem, is a tribute to one of my heroines, which was my Auntie Bridie. She was a phenomenal woman. And I grew up in Bettystown, and I'm back here now. But my father was a very prissy man. He had what we call notions. And he was the bank porter of the Allied Irish Bank in West Street in Drogheda. He thought he was the manager, but he actually was the porter. But he came home one day from work absolutely mortified. And he was really not impressed, because when he told us what happened, of course, we cracked up laughing, which didn't help. But this poem is a tribute on International Women's Day to my Auntie Bridie. And it's called H Block March, Drogheda, 1981. And it's a true story. Standing in the doorway of the bank, porter, friend, affectionately respected, my father, chatting to the manager in West Street. They left Belfast the day before, arriving now in growing numbers, carrying handmade coffins clad in black, accompanied by the local kids and usual hecklers. Share of hooligans, said the father. Blocking the traffic, said the manager. She would have waved, but her left hand carried her homemade flag and her right her shopping basket with floral umbrella in case of rain. So my Auntie Bridie shouted instead, "How are you, Eamon?" Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne. Thanks a million. And congratulations on your book. It's very exciting. Great stuff. So next up is Margaret O'Regan, please.
Thanks, Shauna. Today marks 333 days for Debenhams workers to be on strike. So I'm going to read again my poem called The Devil Wears Debenhams, and it's an acrostic poem, so that's also reading down the left. These Debenhams workers have paved the way every minute of every day. Dignified women and men are they, evil devils in Debenhams they face. Villainous vultures in boardroom culture imagine they can, with their despicable plan, lord it over the workers they slammed. But workers thrown on the scrap heap erupt and fight back, everyone so determined in this first COVID strike. A win for these workers is a win for us all, refusing to kowtow, not taking a fall, staying the course in all 11 stores. Debenhams directors, contemptible, covetous cretins, each and every one a grasping, avaricious louse. By standing up together, wherever they gather, every one of these workers will go hell for leather. Non-ending solidarity at home and far afield has enveloped these brave fighters in a force field and revealed a strength and revelation so supremely divine, making them the spearhead of revolt during COVID, standing firm and steadfast in face of corporate greed. And one other thing about them as well, while I was on the picket line in Cork City this morning, they got a message from UFCW Local 400 members in Virginia, US, sending their solidarity and support. Imagine, it has gone truly international.
Great stuff. Thanks a million, Margaret. And thanks for all the work you do. Great. Next up, is Michelle Delay.
Hi, guys. Happy Women's Day. It's good to be a woman. This is called Double Room to Rent in Cork. In the photo of the bed at the awkward angle, with the lamp clicked on in the corner in the middle of the day, there's a poster of the world on the wall, the one with the golden countries you scratch off, tiny and tediously, with a palette knife, coin or key. North America appears totally conquered, Southeast Asia too. There may be still some peels of them on the carpet below, the border of the map. Though it's been hoovered for this photo, even the windows have been opened. The lemon and pine of it all are dulled by the grey of the weather. The tenant in the doorframe wishing to push the walls apart. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's beautiful. Next up is Augustina, maybe.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay. This one is called My Nose is Buried in Love. And it's basically because I found that when I love someone, I love everything about them, including their smells, every single one of the smells, even the nasty ones. Okay, so here we are. I like the smell of his morning breath passing through his nose. I like the smell of his neck when he wakes up in the morning. I like the smell of his armpits after he's been riding on his bike or gone for a walk. I like the smell of his feet when he takes his shoes off. He says I remind him of a goat. Well, bah, bah, bah. Goats sniff around when they want to mate. Apparently he tended to the goats once at some point. He's patient. And he lets me sniff him until I've had enough, even when it looks awkward and rough. But I don't think this level of sniffing is normal. Casually inhaling his essence like Coke. Anyway, I don't want to just poke or bang. I enjoy the feeling of comfort and safety that all of his smells give me. Does this qualify as a love poem? I don't know for sure, but loving you is easy. like breathing. Once you fill my lungs with your presence, suffocate me with your stench. You make me so high and leave me craving. Is this why people make babies? Babies have a similar effect. Or is it just me ovulating and definitely needing to get a grip? Funny, balls grip too. Good grief. My nose is truly buried in love.
Thank you so much, Augustina. Great. Next up, we have Ada Miles.
Ada? Thanks. Okay, I'll do this one. It's about learning language, in my case, German. And it's a bilingual poem, but I hope that all the lines in German are just understandable from the context of everything else. Learning German. Zwei languages verliebt, two of them in love. I find it amazing. I never stroll. Here comes the Sonne. Here comes the sun. How hard can it be? The journey begun. It just came to me. They connect so well. A tear is an animal. What the hell? No mind to cry now. Ist mir halt recht. It's all perfect with me. I mean it. Echt. A gift is a poison. Something in that. Brought you some hot brown bread. Ear is you, plural. Fun to the ear. By the same token, no. Hören is here. My brain does the pigeon, zwei tongues are verliebt. Amusing to see how fast they have gripped. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great. Next up, we have Karen Warinsky.
Okay, thank you. I'm so happy to be reading here with everybody for the first time. And I'll be under 3 minutes, but I do have two pieces. And they were both inspired by the most recent full moons. And so the first one is called The Edge of the Season. We've almost had enough of this cold, this bleak, this drear. Coyotes howled behind my house 2 nights ago, the moon, their maven. But when I opened the window and howled back, they didn't reply. They are on the edge. But today, the sun is out, flashing its light on all the wonders of winter, minuscule crystals turning aqua, violet, orange, reflecting its cheerful glow. And the air feels fresh and new, like a clean sheet of paper, where we will write our year, a conduit for the coyote's call. Thank you. And this also was inspired by the February full moon. The first one was January. And also an article I read in the Atlantic magazine, and it's called Metal Harvest. The lost balloon of a moon slides along behind a smear of clouds bright in the winter sky. It is 5 p.m. and pushing towards spring, people trying to feel hope in the frosty twilight. A snow moon, reconciliation and recovery in its fullness, a beaming, silent promise. Did Joan lean on her sword, pray her cause would be blessed underneath its quiet glow? Did soldiers in the Argonne pray it would disappear and help them survive another night? Iron is reaped from the ground each year by the farmers near Verdun, barbed wire and bullets, the leavings of war. And unexploded bombs dropped during those 47 days of death emerge like iron rocks in the untilled soil. More than 100 years have passed. They say it may take 100 more before this metal harvest is through. Meanwhile, on the old trenches and in the everlasting forest, Earth's gashes grow green while sheep graze and sometimes go home in Luna's light. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen. Great. Thanks a million. Next up is Daniel Johnson.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me all right? Great. Awesome. This poem is called 3 Days in the County Mayo. We had porridge and honey for breakfast, and the sun rose over the fields of the County Mayo. You drove your blue Peugeot through the arteries of Connemara I held one hand out the window, surfing the air, the other in your hair. The northwestern fields, salt silage slurry, the scent of the air freshener, the shape of the Virgin Mary, your breath when we kissed at stop signs. We stayed the night in an old woman's B&B. She greeted us in Irish. We made love in the rickety double, just the other side of the wall from her. We had porridge and honey for breakfast, and the sun rose over the fields of the County Mayo. While you drove, I admired the bog rose flying banners in the ditches. In Westport, we moseyed through the streets to the sea until you grew quiet. You saw dolphins somewhere beyond, green octopi winking off the coast, and you only told me afterwards, as soon as they departed. That night, we slept together between two round bales in a corrugate barn, the animals looking on with sullen eyes. What must they have assumed? We never made it to Ackle or Sheer Milray, never gazed upon the Moy, because I woke up in a flat in Cork City, tired, never having left. In bed alone, it all seemed silly, your Peugeot, my hand, the Blessed Mother, the clattering bed frame, the heartbreaking hamlets of Connacht, because I've never sniffed north of Galway, and you busted your car on a flower pot in Manor West. I haven't seen you in months. But this morning, I had porridge and honey for breakfast, and still the sun rose over the fields of the County Mayo. Cheers. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Dan. And next up is, oh, Ciarán McCreighton.
Thanks a lot, Shauna. Happy International Women's Day to you all. Yeah, so this is a new poem. Sitting coy and sipping snaps, where's the talk of chatter at? Waiting for an elbow tack, he's jingled to announce the fact a quarter ounce or so of bag has dropped its tag, a stressed asset gone forth to become a valued commodity with traffic heading north. Was hoping for some prodigy to come up to me at source when up you came to talk to me to see how run the course. Well, waltzing round the room, equal parts gesture and voice would have done the same again if given the choice. Cans to consume and tunes to make the speakers make noise. Thread on the loom, everyone their dog and their toys. Best to assume that you might be on with some boy. Wouldn't rush to presume any sort of loyalty from joy. There are jokes crying out for punchlines and it's become a brawl. Best act on your hunch, sunshine, get on the floor and crawl. Sidle up next to the fiend with the phone in his hand and foresee some drops to make the free-falling land. Splash around the room pretending to be water. Run a 4-minute mile at a canter. Roll the inside of your hips, chase your smile to every corner. Look squarely at the digits to keep your house in order. Wet your mouth and find the couch, paw pockets for dry paper. Oh, hey there, it's you. What are you doing later? Thank you.
Thanks, Ciarán. Next up is Catherine Ronan.
The poem I'm going to read now is published in an anthology called Wexford Women Writing Undercover. The title is misleading, really, because it's an international anthology, so I'm very happy to be part of that. Now, this poem is dedicated to female prisoners of anything, everywhere, and it's called Escape. I see the black and white struggle for colour. 7 years old, brave hunter, now it hunts you. Morning orange, barbed wire, sings everywhere. With a smile, you will make it. The only bird you could ever draw was you, fly. I will whisper in your ear every day. I will sleep in your pocket every night. Until you hear me, until you feel 1,000 kisses, until you stand up free. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Thanks. Next up is Sue Blue.
Decision time, so, right. I'll do a poem that some of you might have heard before, but I'm doing it in honor of the day that's in it and the season that has begun. This is Biology Drive. Oh, I love the luscious spree of the springtime ovulation. When life is waking up and she calls for procreation. How red our lips and tips stand to attention like raspberries. With excitement and attention that is begging for release. She demands me to bow to biology drive. I get dressed in finest laces, shapey outfit and my face is set to go out on the hunt seeking vernal stimulation. Cause my flesh is under spell with a wolfish sensual notion, for the touch from skin to skin and the urge for satisfaction. I surrender to the power of biology drive. What my mind is set to find for this burning ovulation is the finest suiting male to release my tantric ocean. With a wolfish deep desire, juices flowing set on fire, when a touch of hot skin makes me melt to the seduction, then I bow to the power of biology drive. And we know what happens now, that's in your imagination. So I close the curtains down in respect and admiration for the magic time of spring, so particularly strong. In the years within my rhythm, I have come to the conclusion that this springtime ovulation is a trick by evolution. And I bow to the power of biology drive. Thanks very much.
Thanks a million, Sue. Next up is Susanna.
Thank you. Okay, so I wrote a long poem for the survivors of the Magdalene Laundry. And in particular, this poem is dedicated to my friend Mary, her mom and her auntie, who are both survivors of the Mothers and Babies Home. The Heart Song. August in the scent of brown barley pinches my nose close to my eyes. I find you, your nose under your brother's hat, no hair on your light framed torso. Why do men have nipples? Yours look absolutely ridiculous. My legs, they can race you to the cliff and back. I'm the fastest. I shine more than the sun. In fact, I am the sun. You breathe on the corrugations of my skin, salted hair, hands afraid to touch, rich red curls rub against, feet gripping in the moss. Only the pheasants can hear us. 3. The River Lee is moaning. Nora is gone from the sad to the mad, the River Lee whispered. She lost her cords, singing at the umbilical cords wrapped up under her pillow. She dropped her heart in soaps for the rich. She rubbed clean sheets so hard that her hands broke and the blood flooded the laundry, making it all red. Even the bricks, the River Lee cried. She was sitting next to her daughter one day, thinking of her, not knowing she was hers. Incredible how baby hands can be so perfect. Gone from the Thad to the Mad and back, the River Lee said. 4. At a protest in Grand Parade. This is not my story to tell, the pretty mother said. The hunger was eating the stomachs in Bessborough. Nora pulled the bread wet of dog saliva out of the dog's teeth. She swallowed it without chewing so that the buds wouldn't taste. Then Father Brendan was at the altar, throwing holy water on the white light apron of Eleanor's best years, on her broad and soft hips. She's churched, he said, while eating blessed fresh bread with bitter sermons. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susanna. Thanks for sharing. Next up in the open mic, we have, sorry, I'm after getting caught up in the comments. I can't find who's next.
Sorry.
Just a moment. No worries. Okay. Sorry. So next up is Paul Talent, please.
All right. Yeah, I've got a little thing here. I've just found I plan to read something tonight, but I'm between houses at the moment, and all my stuff's in storage, including my writing. So I've got this from a little script I wrote about a couple of homeless fellas. I'm fed up of being anxious, not more than the blankness of a canvas. I'm ridiculous, nebulous, frivolous, definitions given to me by the omnipotent. Just because I don't have a job and I don't pay tax, I've less worth than a Candy Crush app. Please don't ask me for money, I'll just look the other way. Get a job, you crackhead, or some instrument you can play. Isn't that exactly what they say? My heart beats, my sweat will pour. I have dreams and ambitions that I have to ignore. Parents who aren't there anymore. I feel happy and sad, even horny too. For God's sake, I'm just like you. We follow Darwin, but something is amiss. Why should I have to justify my right to exist? If you want to be animals, stop pretending to be human. Sit with me here. Let's watch the movement. Monkeys in suits with snake's eyes, fueled by egos and desperate lies. Never actually questioning why. And yet it's me that you all despise. Based on the stats by the so-called wise. The prophets of your gods, those almighty sods. In the news of the world. And in the Sun and in the Daily Mail, they are not men. They're only prophets. Their only prophets are the ones in the pockets. I love this place, the people, the city. You fund my life through your tax and your pity. But what I really want is a voice that is heard. Take my advice, just take in every word. Go back to school or do anything just to remind yourself that there's more to life than just earning a living. Nice one.
Thanks a million, Paul. Nice one. Great stuff. So, next up is me trying to find who's next. Sorry, I'll just... great. Thanks a million. So next up is Paul Rabinowitz.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. I just plugged in a mic, so I wasn't sure. So thank you. I kind of missed you last month, so I'm glad to be back in Cork in mind. I'm from New Jersey here. And my first poem, two very short poems, but my first poem is dedicated to a poet who passed away last week. Her name is Denise Bell. She's from Brooklyn, New York, and she was a true champion of the homeless and wrote most of her poems about the homeless population in Brooklyn. So this is for her. It's called Rose. This morning outside my window, orange and red light linger on the edge of a cloud, yellow turns gold. Set upon the desk where I write these poems for you, a rose opens wider than I've ever seen before. Maybe God exists, or just a muse tapping. Have faith, it says. Choose a common noun for the title of the collection. One syllable is all you'll need. Then stand by it. Be ready to defend, as the meaning will change and transform over time. So that was for Denise. She was a really beautiful soul, but her spirit lives on in her poems. Thank you. And this is for Women's Day. This is for all the women who have inspired women, and for all the women who inspired men, and for all the women who have inspired all those others that we love. And this is called Dali, and it's all about Salvador Dali's muse, Gala, who, if it wasn't for her, there would be no Dali. I had the most interesting dream last night about a woman who dressed like Salvador Dali and a man who dressed like his muse, Gala. Each impression of the other fell for the impression of the other, but when their true selves were revealed, the man who dressed as Gala decided to borrow the clothes from the woman who dressed as Salvador Dali. The woman was so moved, she dressed in the clothes of his muse, Gala, and together they decided to photograph each other with an old camera that had no film, yet the idea of the photo that never came to be became the idea for a novel that was never written, but remained locked in his mind as he removed his tie and carefully set it on the wax end of her elegant mustache. Thank you. Happy Women's Day.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thanks for sharing that great stuff. Okay, finally, our last reader, as of now, for the evening, is Cathal Holden.
Hey guys. Oh, I see. I've made a hames of things. Technology, am I right? That's close. And Jesus, that's useless. Sorry, guys. One second. So I'm going to dig out a really old piece, actually. Yeah, this is one I wrote a long, long time ago. 2012, I think. It's called The Beggar Man. Atop the hill, the dotted distance, I alight and find the body of a beggar man that deliquesces into dust. I dig his grave and drag his hearse so he may disperse his life into an apple tree. It works its roots into his shroud and grows its roots up to the clouds. It is more tasteful than chips of green glass or a statue of an angel. In his pocket, I find the nub of a pencil and the blueprints to what might be a masterpiece, the till roll of a lifetime. I will take them with me when I leave him, and I will honor them, pay the bearer upon receipt the sum of simplicity, for he is now at rest. I leave myself there to vanish into myself like water into sand, and I fly at the speed of thought, my deeds wrought and end sought to a battle fought in which both sides surrendered, each unto the other within themselves. I flow to where I know a fault line grows, an outstretched hand towards a cavern where a river shows its colours to the walls. I feel closer here at the heart of things. I will always come back. I walk to the crack and sit at its base. I know this place and it knows me. I am tempted to leave myself here too, but I know if I place my heart in the fissure, it would break under pressure. So at length I leave the river and my heart in its cage to sing its ease and grow, so one day it may find the strength to be released. I have nothing but complexity to add to your simplicity, and I wonder, could I ever elicit the felicity you seek? I am not weak. I have seen how strong I can be, and I'm working towards it. I have a way to go. A distance yet to travel. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks a million, Cathal. Great stuff. Sorry, I actually missed a name in the list. My sincere apologies. But last, but very not least, is the wonderful Megs Creedon. So, Megs.
Okay, thanks, Donna. I'm going to try singing a song that I did with them. Our group is with a 5-word challenge, and words were sleep, regime, IUD, energy, aura. And I just did a little poem there. I found this kind of a grieving goblet in it, and I did it as that week as well. I just stuck the words of the poem into the lyrics of a tribute to an artist, because our songwriters group will just do a tribute to an artist, and the artist I chose is Django. Well, give me a bit of rope here now, please. I need a new sleep regime. It won't involve Ovaltine or raspberry gin. I'll order up some oral messaging, for you must whisper me your sweet nothings. Aye, aye, you do demand some tea and sympathy. I desire some of your empathy. You have sapped all my precious energy, so give me back my mojo, honey. Give and take, soft hearts must break. They get molded and remelded. Give me time and petrol finds. They be pardoned when they're scolded. Oh, volume of a McCullough's all gone to blow. New Gandhi mob, a volume of right. T. Augustian ball, cover lumber the millship of all. Tourist old Tom O'Kribog. His father, Leo, is a album blue. How old to Mokoda blue? Or the Sprich Larish Lilla Hall, I get into twisted here. Aber Aber Nilsha Dumanach. Sharia Moore, do not do more. Indulge me just a little. Give me sugar, my pleasure, the more. And go careful, cause I'm brittle. Coming soon, an aging honeymoon, presumed to outlast lust. And we will have a great comeback, a new franchise, just us. I need a new sleep regime to remodel and start again. To refresh the settings for a brand new screen, just whisper me your sweet nothings. Give and take, soft hearts won't break. They're just melted and remolded. Give me time, admit love crimes. They'll be pardoned in their scolded. I need a new sleep regime. They won't all think raspberry gin. I'll order up some moral messaging. Forgive me up your mystery. I'll order up some moral messaging. For you must whisper me your sweet nothings. Pa 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 da 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 pa pa da 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 da. That's it. And there's my daughter ringing in the middle of the show. I thought it was on silent.
Thanks a million, Megs, and congratulations again for being our 5-word winner for the evening.
Thanks a million.
And thank you so much to everybody who shared their work on the open mic tonight. It's great to hear so many voices, and one good thing about this is that we get to connect with people from different parts of the world that maybe normally we wouldn't have the opportunity to. So thank you so much for all of your contributions, and I'd like to give it up once again for our guest readers, Sandy Yanon and Lawrence McKeown, for their wonderful readings and for being with us here this evening. So that's it for the 656th, O'Vale event. for now, we will go on to, you can stay around. Normally, if this was IRL, we'd go to the pub nearby, call Arthur Means. But since that's not possible now, we can have a virtual Arthur Means. If anybody wants to stay on, we can chat for a while. And if not, then O'Vale will be back next month, and it's the anniversary event, so you can bring along poems of somebody that you like to read at the open mic. So thank you so much to everybody again for the five words and the open mic, and everybody watching on Facebook.